I'm Jim Cameron, Jim Cameron Consulting, broadcasting from the Fountainhead, home of Synergy Billing, and I'm your host for Volusia Matters. News, interviews, and matters that impact Volusia County directly or indirectly. And if you would please click the like or the follow button if you want to receive future notices of this podcast, because it sure helped me. And now for the news. Congressman Michael Waltz and Darren Soto introduced the Jackie Robinson Ballpark Commemorative Site Act to honor the location where Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier and played his first professional game. Not only would the bill designate Jackie Robinson Ballpark as a commemorative site, it initiates a feasibility study to designate the Jack as an historic landmark. Now, Congressman Waltz stated Jackie Robinson changed the course of history on March 17, 1946, after Daytona Beach City Commission ignored segregation laws and gave him a chance to play at City Island Ballpark. Since that day, Daytona Beach's park has been an historic landmark and reminder of Jackie Robinson, the civil rights movement, and the integration of modern professional baseball. Now, Daytona Tortugas owner Bob Fregoli said the team is honored with furthering the legacy of Jackie Robinson in Daytona Beach. And Senator Marco Rubio will introduce the companion bill in the Senate. And most recently, $30 million in renovations have been announced for Jackie Robinson Ballpark.
Okay, today with us, we have Deltona City Commissioner Dana McCool. Hey, glad to have you with us, Dana.
Good morning, Jim.
All righty. Dana, Deltona City Commission, y'all made a decision last night, I believe, for a city manager. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yep, I sure can. It was a unanimous decision. And when I say unanimous, Jim, I not only mean the dais, but I mean staff, I believe, is encouraged by this hiring, and especially, and number one important, the residents. This is who the residents committee voted for. We agreed with our constituents about what our leadership should look like, and I am very happy that we will be offering the position to Doc Daugherty.
I saw him at the meet and greet Friday night, and I was very much impressed with him. Can you share a little bit more details about him?
Absolutely. He comes from Garden City, Michigan. He has a long tenure in municipality management. He is a go-getter. The things that he came prepared to the interview and to this city with his 30, 60, 90-day goals. He understood the challenges. I mean, he knew people's names when he walked into that room. And I don't mean just the dais. I mean, he knew staff names. He knew residents' names, people that had served on the committee. He had done his homework. So we are really happy with our selection.
All right. Y'all made the decision last night. Now, I guess that y'all have a group that's going to enter into a contract phase.
Right. The consultant will go back to him now with direction from the commission. He will come back to the city to discuss his the terms of his contract. And I don't have a definite timeline, but you'll be one of the first to know when that is presented to me. Again, we're the morning after. And so, but trust me when I say that we are looking forward to putting him to work.
Well, I want to congratulate you on a good process and everything, and I look forward to working with them myself.
Jim, I can't wait. Good things are coming up for the city of Deltona. We are, last night was probably the best meeting I experienced as far as dais relationship, right? As far as the work that we got done last night, as far as community participation in the process. So I'm really happy with the whole process.
I could tell. I could tell that was a good meeting last night. So,
Yep.
Well, Dana, thank you for being with us today.
Absolutely, Jim. My pleasure. You are a community treasure anytime, anywhere, Jim Cameron.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And yesterday, April 15th, was Tax Day, and this is where the U.S. government collects a substantial portion of its revenue from individual income taxes. Now, in fiscal year 2023, the total U.S. federal tax revenue is estimated to be $4.7 $1 trillion from different sources. First, income taxes paid by individuals' earnings, they contribute $2.35 trillion. And then of that, payroll taxes contribute $1.6 trillion, of which Social Security is $1.1 trillion, and Medicare is $342 billion. Unemployment insurance paid by employers is $55 billion, and corporate taxes add $284 billion. Now, Federal Reserve, which earns revenue from various sources, contributed $76 billion last year, and the Fed, this is the bank for federal government agencies, pays interest on the operating funds deposited by these agencies. And remaining federal revenue comes from excise taxes and tariffs on imports and miscellaneous receipts and estate taxes. So in summary, personal income taxes play a crucial role in funding U.S. government programs and services. Now, as for expenditures, U.S. government allocates this revenue across various categories to fund essential programs and services. Largest expenditure being Social Security, which provides retirement, disability, and survivor benefits to eligible individuals. 2023, Social Security cost approximately $1.18 trillion. Now, healthcare programs is next, and that includes $849 billion for Medicare, which covers seniors' healthcare cost, and $448 billion for Medicaid, which covers healthcare for low-income individuals. And then this defense, which is national security, military operations, that's $753 billion. And then interest on outstanding national debt, I think that's the $34 trillion that I always argue about, that totaled $378 billion. And I want to check that figure because I think that's supposed to be more. That's me. Next, income security programs. This includes Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, that being food stamps for low-income households, that totaled $85 billion. Unemployment compensation for out-of-work individuals totaled $53 billion. Education, being K-12 schools, higher education, vocational schools, $100 billion. Transportation infrastructure, that being highways, bridges, public transit, again, $100 billion. Veterans benefits, that being for health care, pensions, and disability compensation, totaled $240 billion. And non-defense discretionary spending totaled $700 billion, and that went for programs like healthcare research and additional infrastructure and various other categories. Next item, Port Orange City Council is seeking to enhance the docks at the South Causeway Boat Ramp Park, which includes reconstructing the south boat ramp and replacing existing wood docks with a more resilient floating system that will ensure greater durability during storms. And they're going to add additional parking as well. And if the city's application for this project is approved, construction will begin in 2025. And across the city of Port Orange, the new Halifax Emergency Room building project, I was at their groundbreaking ceremony about 2 weeks ago. It's going to be at the corner of Williamson Boulevard and Oakwater Lane. And upon completion of construction, it's set to open sometime next spring. Moving on to Daytona Beach. Daytona Beach Charter Review Commission continues their work on reviewing the city's charter, and they'll hold their next meeting on Monday, April 22nd, 6 p.m., Schnebly Recreation Center on Atlantic Avenue. On March 25th, Daytona Beach launched a pilot program to have two First Coast security guards patrol Beach Street. They'll be out there Monday to Saturday, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And this is a 60-day pilot project to help businesses with any issues that may get out of hand. And the downtown area is in the midst of a major redevelopment project, and business owners are seeking more security. The project's going to cost about $25,000, and it'll also collect data and determine hotspot locations. Next, another item that I mentioned last week, New Smyrna Beach City Commission is seeking a new city manager, and that they're going to meet Thursday, April 18th, 5:30 p.m. at City Commission Chambers with a preliminary introduction of applicants from which they will select 8 to 12 semi-finalists. I'm going to try to be there at that myself. Next item, Volusia Elections Slate. For this, I want you to go to my website, jimcameronconsulting.com, and on there you'll find my list of updated candidates on a page which will be updated every 2 weeks. Now, as I said, jimcameronconsulting.com, and then look on the tabs for elections slate. Moving across the county, DeLand City Commission approved a new policy that prohibits video or audio recording inside the police department's lobby. This comes after an increase in incidents with First Amendment auditors. Those are people who exercise their right to record video in public places. Now, the city has had numerous residents come in to the lobby to speak with the DeLand Police Department about a crime or to file a report. And while they may be taken to another room to discuss details, they must tell the receptionist why they're visiting. Now, the city said several of these auditors have been recording those conversations in the lobby. And the city said, while the public or auditors have the right to record in public places, there needs to be a degree of privacy when residents are reporting sensitive matters. And DeLand City spokesman Chris Graham stated, victims of crime who've been maybe sexually assaulted or may have witnessed a crime coming into a police station tell officers about it, they expect some degree of privacy. In other words, they don't want their report to the police to be recorded. Next, Governor DeSantis announced that nearly 5,000 law enforcement officers have received a $5,000 bonus after taxes, bringing the total amount awarded through the program to more than $32 million. Now, this has been awarded through the Florida Law Enforcement Recruitment Bonus Program. And this program has recruited nearly 1,300 law enforcement recruits from 49 states, including 400 from anti-police jurisdictions such as Illinois, California, and New York. And moving on, don't forget the 21st annual Jeep Beach, which will draw Jeepers nationwide, and that's going to start this Friday and runs to April 28th. Now, on April 26th, there will be country music performers at the Speedway infield, not to mention scavenger hunts, a 5K fund run, and other activities. And since this program began, it's raised and donated over $4 million to local charities. Next item, Volusia's been approved to continue coastal rebuilding efforts for the remainder of the year. Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission is reauthorizing construction along Volusia's beaches during the 2024 sea turtle nesting season, May 1st to October 31st. This approval enables residents, businesses, cities still addressing the damages caused by Hurricanes Ian and Nicole to start or continue with permitted repairs to public beach access points and coastal armoring for businesses and residential properties. This also facilitates Volusia's ongoing projects to repair public beach walkovers. And since the hurricanes, the county has completed repairs on more than 80 walkovers with plans to refurbish or rebuild others. And then all coastal parks and vehicle access ramps, except one, have been reopened. Now, parties undertaking construction on the beach after April 30 will be required to follow enforced permit conditions that ensure environmental and wildlife protection. Now, like last year, the county again will oversee contractors and property owners' adherence to environmental requirements during these ongoing repairs. Required permits must be obtained through the Department of Environmental Protection, the county, and city governments to carry out construction along the coast. And those needing to secure permits should call the Growth and Resource Management Department at 822-5013. Next item, moving on to Congress. Anyone remember that March 22nd, $1.6 trillion budget vote that came just before the government shutdown deadline and they needed Democrat votes to get it approved? Well, Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has raised the idea and the question to remove House Speaker Mike Johnson from office because of that vote. But since then, there's really been no further discussion because other Republicans are concerned that such a maneuver might mean additional chaos, especially with there's no clear consensus of an individual prepared to take over. And members have said another round to find another House Speaker this close to the election might mean problems. Oh, stay tuned. And next item, for the last year or so, Federal Reserve officials have sought to bring inflation to a 2% target. And at the end of last year, inflation seemed to be falling, but new consumer price figures show a 3.5% inflation rate in March compared to a 3.2% rate in February, and I believe 3.1% in January. So, well, inflation isn't just, while it ain't those damn 2021 high rates that we had, the current rates are higher than the Federal Reserve and American consumers want. So, lowering interest rates appears to be in limbo. And it's probably a safe bet to say there ain't going to be any 3 rate cuts this year. I guess we can forget that, at least for the time being. And next item is our interview with Volusia Sheriff Mike Chitwood.
We're in for a treat. We have with us Volusia County Sheriff Mike Chitwood. Glad to have you with us, Mike.
Jim, glad to be with you.
Okay. Bike week is come and gone, and I don't know, I guess is spring break, is that complete or near about complete?
Yeah, spring break finished on March 31st, thank God.
Well, how did these events work out, bike week and spring break, according to the Sheriff's Department? How'd they work out?
From my view, from the sheriff's perspective, I think the events, Bike Week was an extraordinary event. The weather was fantastic. You know, I was up on Main Street. They had great crowds, great people. I was down on MMB. You know, the same thing. It was a great Friday night down there the last weekend. I was up on US 1. You know, great crowds, a lot of good people. You know, we had, I think, a couple dozen fatalities. That number, I'm not sure where we ranked in there. But, you know, some of them were just, you know, we had one in Deltona, although they were residents, you know, no motorcycle helmet, going at an excessive speed. You know, they broadsided a car because they ran a light, and both motorcyclists were killed. I mean, the driver and the passenger were killed. And that's the sad part of the event, is that people come down here and they check their common sense at the door, even our residents do. And we end up with fatalities.
All right. Speaking of events, I know y'all check out social media and Facebook pages or groups like that. Are you hearing anything? Are we looking at another truck event?
Yeah, our intel is monitoring things. They're always on social media, advertising events. We just got through this past weekend. The Catfish Festival is big up in Seville. And Lake County and Putnam County, and then they descend on the land area afterwards for an after party, and we were able to go after that promoter to basically tell him, hey man, we're going to come after you for the cost we incur. This is a non-permitted event. So ourselves in Daytona, we are looking at these advertisements out there, and you know, obviously, if we can shut it down with the promoter, letting them know they're going to be billed for the cost of the event. We're going to do that. And obviously we also have plans with Daytona to make sure that we can make it as uncomfortable as possible for them should they decide to come to town and wreak havoc.
Okay. Well, in doing so, I guess y'all work in conjunction with local police departments throughout the county. So have you got any good examples of how y'all coordinated working together?
Well, we can get ready to spring break. You know, there's a different way of policing the beach now. And, you know, this isn't a knock on the previous administration, but having spent over 10 years as the chief in Daytona, there really was no coordination between the sand and the blacktop. You know, all they worried about was the sand. And then once they got off the sand, hey, our hands are clean. That wasn't how spring break worked this year in New Smyrna in particular. We were embedded with the New Smyrna Beach Police Department as they were with us, as was Florida Highway Patrol, as was, you know, Daytona and Port Orange and Edgewater and Orange City. Everybody in the county gave several resources to New Smyrna to help abate the unruly crowds. And I think we were extremely successful. The feedback that I'm getting from the New Smyrna Beach mayor And from the residents, when I was out there, I biked the beach up and back, God knows how many times, people were thrilled with that cohesive policing that was there. Everybody knew what everybody was doing. Everybody knew why we were there.
Okay. Well, Mike, I know you're a big supporter of First Step Shelter in Daytona and a neighborhood center in DeLand. How are things in working out with addressing homeless populations?
I think what's going to be the challenge for us is when the governor signs into law the bill of camping in public places. Hey, I'm not going to the shelter, and you can't make me move. This is a public park. This is where I'm going to sleep. So we're exploring how we're going to implement that, how we're going to enforce that in a constitutional manner. So that's something that we're looking at. Obviously, the west side of the county, the woods play a huge role in the homeless population. We have a lot of homeless camps on the west side of the county. We see that in New Smyrna Beach. There's a wooded area on one side of 44 that's county. There's a wooded area on the other side of 44 that is New Smyrna. And there's a homeless population there that we're getting complaints from the Publix and from the Frozen Gold ice cream place and the neighbors. So obviously we're working together to have trespass arrest sites put into place to try to do what we can do from a law enforcement end. But right now you really can't force somebody into a shelter or force them into services. And that's where that disconnect comes in, because they refuse and they'd rather stay out on the street. And that's the Rubik's Cube. How do you solve that one?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's got to be a difficult situation, especially with y'all, though. But you mentioned...
I'm sorry, Jim. And knowing that we do have some resources here, I mean, you do have those two centers that if you want to get back on your feet and you want help, there's resources there to get you where you need to go.
And you're right. And in addition, in conjunction with First Step Shelter, I say that you don't want to get into the program at First Step Shelter. We got an alternative there, the Roseanne Tornator Safe Zone. You can go there. You don't have to, you don't have to deal with everything inside, but you can stay at the safe zone. So that's another alternative right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, I was going to say, you mentioned earlier, though, the beach. And I'm trying to think how long it's been that y'all been patrolling the beach now. I've been seeing some situations on, like I said, on patrol live. I'm a big fan of that. And I've seen some, but what are some of the cases? How are things going out there working with you on the beach?
Well, we took over, the law required us to take over the beach policing end of it on May 1st of last year.
That's
right.
We
were nowhere fully staffed. So we were kind of doing a Band-Aid effort there. Plus we had 17 really outstanding individuals who left the beach patrol to come to work for us. And they had to undergo 8 weeks of crossover training to become sheriff's deputies. And once that training was complete and all the new equipment came in, this was really our first special event, spring break, where they were now meshed with our deputy. It's called the Coastal Division Unit. So we have 34 deputies assigned to that unit. And I think what you saw this week was, the lifeguards go in, they pull somebody out that had gone way out and basically was dead. And they drug him in, and the deputies were waiting on the shoreline and automatically began CPR. And here we all are in his hospital room taking pictures because of that combined effort to save a life. You saw the 16-year-old selling drugs on the beach, armed with a firearm. Deputies were out on foot. They weren't driving around in trucks waving at everybody. They were out on foot, saw a large crowd. And as they infiltrated that crowd, they saw the kid pointing a firearm at another kid. Chase was on, thank God. He didn't get shot. We didn't get shot. Nobody got shot. And he threw the gun, and the bag he had contained 72 individually wrapped packets of marijuana into the ocean. One of our guys was able to go in and dive down and recover the firearm and the drugs, which I thought was amazing. And when you see the number of arrests that were made on the beach that you see all the time, sex offenders, drug dealing, persons armed with guns, persons with warrants, the issue for it's not an issue, but the mantra I give my deputies is, hey, If anybody's out there raising cane, we have to take action. People out there stealing off the beach blankets, I want them. People speeding, doing burnouts on the beach, which they do, I want them. Underage drinking, open containers, enforce it to the utmost. We want to set the rules that you're going to come down there, have a good time, want your family there. We don't want a circus-like atmosphere.
Exactly. And you had made reference to legislation from last year, a year ago, as it relates to, you know, the Beach Authority and all. But this last legislative session was just adjourned March the 8th. Any particular bills that you were following this last legislative session?
Oh, Jim, we followed everything from the 25-foot rule for people that want to interfere and film the police when they're doing their job. There's crimes in there about child sexual abuse up in the ages and the ranges in there. There's a tremendous juvenile bill there that we were following that enhances the penalties for these juveniles that are gun toters, you know, that they get arrested time after time with a firearm and judges don't want to do their job and adjudicate them as delinquent. Well, under the new law, they can only do that one time. The second time they adjudicate somebody caught with a firearm as a juvenile, they now have to do a memo to the prosecutor, to the victim, and to the sheriff explaining why they did not enforce the law. You know, ankle monitoring is going to be more prevalent for these violent kids. And so is their stay in secure facility. There's no longer a flat 21 days in there. So these are some really big changes. Civil citation is no longer called a civil citation. There is nothing civil about stealing something. So all of that is being, it's still a diversion program, but they're changing the name to it. The squatter bill is big. You know, with the way we're going to handle squatters now, I think we're the only state in the nation that has really come up with a bill that really cuts through the red tape and gets right to the heart of it. You know, my civil enforceable deputies will be called to these locations and almost instantaneously, they're going to be able to make a decision and start the eviction process on the spot. And when I say eviction, I mean getting locked up is what I mean. You're going to get arrested. We're looking at some pension reforms that for us in law enforcement and in particular with our dispatchers, we're not right there yet. They are our unsung heroes and we're trying to get them into the high risk fund. We'll fight that battle again next year, but there's a lot coming down our pike. A lot of stuff we've monitored, a lot of stuff the Sheriff's Association, the Police Chiefs Association pushed for to keep us a safe state. So, you know, as they come down and they get signed, obviously we start training legally on those things, but they're just some of the highlights.
Okay. And you mentioned squatters. I can tell you, I have heard at some of the city meetings that I go to around, you know, the county or whatever nights, I'm hearing, you know, the word squatter cases coming up. So, yeah, I'm glad you're on top of that there, though. Just, any closing comments that you can share with us, Mike?
No, you know, Jim, I will just give us a plug. We are what's known as a tri-arc organization. What that means is we have become nationally accredited as an organization, our communication center, and now our training facility. There are only 30 police departments, 30 Democratic police departments in the world that could turn around and say they've gone through this assessment and they meet or exceed national and international standards. And that is a feather in the cap of everybody in this organization to show you how hard we are working to exceed expectations.
Well, I want to again congratulate you, Mike. I mean, because y'all are doing a fantastic job, and we sure appreciate you being with us today.
Jim, thank you very much. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
And to finish up, look for a new podcast episode to be released next week. And the views expressed on this podcast may or may not necessarily express the opinions of Jim Cameron Consulting. And for more news, check out my newsletter, which is emailed the first week of every month. And if you're not receiving it, call me at 566-2140, and my guarantee of $1,000 still stands. And this week, I want to thank all those waiters and waitresses in restaurants and the people working behind the counters at grocery stores, at delis and delivery drivers and all, these are those hard-working day-to-day type people. People that are working on the rooftops, and they're going to be out there this summer in 90-degree heat, and those individuals out there that are working, putting asphalt on highways and such, though, and that type heat, I want to thank them because they work hard for their money. And again, this is Jim Cameron signing off, saying God bless Israel, Ukraine, the U.S., and NATO. And, I still want to see that damn Vladimir Putin's head on a stick and for him to rot in hell. And that does express the opinions of Jim Cameron Consulting. And last but not least, Roll Tide.